You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Earlier today, our central bank governor, Ntate Lesetša Kganyago, came out with an announcement saying that it is all good and well that South Africa is moving forward, but he feels that we're still using a little too much cash, especially given all of the technological advancements that exist in the day and age that we live in. I have the privilege of speaking to the head of National Payment Systems, or rather the head of the National Payment System Department at the South African Reserve Bank, Ntate Tim Masela, around this and trying to make sense of how we move forward from here. Ntate Masela, thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with taking a look at a very interesting statistic that 50% of South African adults still withdraw the cash as it hits their bank account.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity and greetings to you and your listeners. Indeed, I think we did a payment study prior to coming into this conference, where we got some insights of the consumer preferences and which payment instruments they use. And indeed, in terms of transaction volumes, cash is king and captures the bulk of the transaction volume. But in terms of value, cash is lower than card and other electronic means, meaning that the users of cash are buying in small baskets, many transactions, low value. And we took from those insights aspects where we have an action plan in terms of our digitization roadmap.
When we look at that digitization roadmap, I mean, obviously the adoption of digital has some strategic advantages. Would you say that currently the lack of adoption or the slow rate at which South Africans are moving towards digital has something to do with a trust element?
Well, we put in the basket many aspects, including this one, where two specific aspects we believe could be top of mind to consumers, and we need to come up with convincing solutions. One, consumer protection. People believing that if they go into an electronic transaction, maybe on the accepting side, it could be that the transaction could be reversed, but when they get cash, they get cash. It will never go back. And secondly, is financial crime. Some people believing that if they engage in digital payments, they could be scammed. And if they have cash, maybe is that. But there's an element of consumer education and an awareness that we need to embark along the solutions that we put for consumer protection and cyber resilience. And of course, over and above the issue that could relate to fees, to say if I buy electronically, maybe my money is going to fees, but if I withdraw once, I pay one withdrawal fee, and then I transact multiple times with that cash. So there's aspects that we need to deal with, but on the extreme is the instruments that needs to be available for me to buy anywhere digitally if I choose so. If we take the point of sale devices that we use for car, we could use a mobile phone to exchange value that we believe many people have. We could make a difference so that people have choice. We're not saying they should go off cash, but they should have a choice to use cash when it works for them, and they should have a choice to use other means when it works for them.
Speaking of that choice and the convenience of that choice, I mean, the Saab was instrumental in ensuring that we got the PayShap system off the ground, and that's been such an important thing to bring into when we look at digitization, because for the longest time when we've looked at these things, everything's gone through the banking system as it currently stands or as we know it, and consumers have always said, look, but maybe this is going to be expensive. Let's go through innovations like PayShap and things like the Saab's sandbox that exist around wanting to make the solutions more affordable, but still maintaining that element of trust.
True. I think you raised an important point around PayShap. PayShap is supposed to give South Africans a fast, convenient, low-value payment mechanism. And to the issues that I spoke about, protection, crime, and fees, you bring fees then, we should ensure that low-value transactions on PayShap, and we come to the public openly about this, should be free. So that there's no fee for low-value transactions. We can agree on what that threshold is. what low value means. But those transactions should be free so that you get the same experience as when you use cash. Secondly, we would like PayShap to be available at till points to say, rather than use a card, you can say, I pay PayShap, and you pay that merchant with a PayShap. So we need this person to merchant use case to be entrenched. Currently, it's focused on person to person. You need person to business, person to merchant. And if we have those cases, I can choose whether to use a card or to use a PayShap. And sometimes even incentives could be offered for people to prefer what is safer. But we want all the mechanisms to be safe and convenient. That's the bottom line.
Dr. Masala, speaking of safe and convenient mechanisms and having more mechanisms in place, how much of this is part of the SARB's role? I mean, the SARB as the custodian of our national payment system, obviously that's as critical as it can get. But I'm looking at things around innovation. I mean, one of the big things that's kind of prevented innovations like PayShap from coming on board is the need for regulatory compliance and the headache that comes with that. And it might be a headache, but it is necessary. We understand, of course, that it is necessary to have compliance and regulation in place. But is it too much compliance? Is there too much red tape that's stifling innovation and causing monopolies to come up out of nowhere?
Now, to your question, when we talk regulation, everybody says there should be proportionality. We shouldn't have a very a hammer killing an ant type scenario. But indeed, we believe that we can enable that. We have embarked on a payment ecosystem modernization journey that is in some ways going to attempt to address what you're saying. Let me just share the background. Mm. We're saying in payment systems, the middle mile infrastructure that connects the parties should be a utility that is shared. And the providers of the service should compete on products and services on top of the shared infrastructure. So if we share this infrastructure, we will benefit from economies of scale, and the innovators can come on top of that. Then to your question, there's maybe three issues that I'll just talk to. The first one is the identity of who I'm dealing with. How am I sure that when I'm paying this person and they are above board? Mm. Secondly, if there's fraud in the system, we need a mechanism that sits in the middle, this infrastructure in the middle, that helps everybody to take decisions to root out the fraudsters. At the moment, we find a situation where this party says, I'm better on fraud to that one. There shouldn't be competition on fraud. We should collaborate to root out the criminals out, and the middle mile infrastructure should do that. Now, to your question, if we get new entrants, which are smaller players, and they find these building blocks, it would make it easier for them to come in. Because if we don't, they have to each build these fraud systems and build that system, and it's costly for them to afford. So this ecosystem modernization is attempting to lay the building blocks on which everybody can leverage, and we have a safe and maybe the one kind of crime-free would be a strong word, system that would actually ensure that everybody benefits in terms of the integrity of the system that we deal with.
One of the things I've always loved about the Reserve Bank is its ability to look at the bigger picture and want to make the systems and ecosystems better. Dr. Masala, before I let you go, I want to take a look at the payments environment and the payments ecosystem. Obviously, from here to move forward and to be able to continue to grow, it does require everybody to come to the party, work together to build this ecosystem. How do we then ensure that the right information goes out? Because if we build the system and the people still don't use the system, then we haven't built a very effective system, right?
Indeed. I think the coordination of this aspect is at the moment in place, but is facilitated by the National Treasury, where we say consumer awareness and education. Mm. People should be informed, especially so that they can even claim their rights when somebody tries to abuse them. But they should know which instruments are better than others and how they can leverage. And that's where we emphasize choice. We say, if you give the people the right information and you point them onto the dangers, then they decide what to do. And at least they have choice to say, understanding the environment, this is the best that I think suits me. And that indeed is underpinned by information that is being provided as part of the consumer education interventions.
Well, these interventions will continue, and we'll continue to do our part wherever we can. I think it's important to emphasize that the South African Reserve Bank, as an institution and as the custodian of our national payment system, is the final point of contact around the trust element. And if anything is endorsed by the Reserve Bank, it means they've gone through all of their red tape. Thank you so much, Ntata Masela. That's Tim Masela, head of the National Payment System Department at the South African Reserve Bank, on the move to digital. We have to do it, we should do it, and we can do it safely.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.